As a church, and we've been doing devotionals in the Bible, and I've just written a devotional called Morning Manna that I'm going to put in a book and get that out this year, this new year, and have another book coming up. It'll be Evening Meat, and then another book coming up that will be Noon Meditation, getting those out, and then looking to write another one maybe on prophecy and the second coming. But starting to crank up with that, so pray for my back there that we get going forward. And we've been reading in the Old Testament in the book of Hosea. How many have been reading with us in the Bible, reading through the Bible? Amen. I want to encourage you to do that. We're starting the new year, and we have a church Bible reading program. Stay with it. It will really help you. Now, we've been looking at the book of Hosea. And you remember Hosea was a prophet to the northern kingdom. And he prophesied just about 800 or so B.C. And he was prophesying, and he was prophesying just before the northern kingdom was ready to be defeated by the Assyrian Empire and scattered to the winds. And the problem with Israel was that God had married Israel. God had married that nation, and God was in love with Israel, but Israel cheated on God and committed spiritual adultery, and many times committed all kinds of acts of physical fornication that went along with their idolatry, and they would worship idols like Baal. And here God, in spite of all their sin, He blessed them. He gave them food. He gave them money. He gave them prosperity. He blessed Israel. And it kind of reminds me of America. God is giving us another opportunity, an opportunity for prosperity, for peace, for blessing, and a pushing back of the devil's timeline. And God was blessing Israel because He loved Israel, and she was cheating on Him with these false gods like Baal, and giving Baal the glory for her riches and for her prosperity. And it hurt God deeply. Can you imagine a man married to a woman that he loves and she's cheating on him? She's enamored with another man for whatever stupid reason. And she's cheating on him. And how deeply this man, Hosea, was hurt by that. We talked about that on Wednesday night in my message on a warning concerning that very thing in marriage. And so that was going on, and God was dealing with Hosea. He had him marry a woman who was his wife, and I believe their first baby was named Jezreel, a boy, and I believe he was the father of that baby, the prophet Hosea. But I believe the second and the third and so forth, other men fathered those babies because this woman, his wife, cheated on him. Now, God knew that would happen. God knew she would be a cheater, and God knew her heart would be to cheat. And by the way, when a man cheats on a woman or a woman on a man, it's on you. It's not on your mate. And that was going on, and Gomer cheated on him repeatedly. And so Hosea was deeply hurt by it. But he loved her with an amazing love. And even though he divorced her, and even though God divorced Israel, later on, after she was so messed up and so enslaved that nobody wanted her anymore, because she couldn't even be sold as a harlot anymore, Hosea bought her back, and he took her back. And you know what? He showed his unconditional love. And God was using him to say how God loves his people, that he would take Israel back and marry her again, because God has loved Israel with an everlasting love. By the way, if you're a child of God, God will never divorce you. God will never, ever divorce you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never stop loving you. He loves you with an unconditional love. I told some people this. This week I got up 4:30 or 5 in the morning. We have a big picture window. And when I was awake, everybody in the house was asleep, including my wife. I was just looking out that window, and the big full moon was shining in that window. just shining on me. And I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, God, why'd you wake me up? Am I supposed to pray? A lot of times I'll do that. But it was almost like, no, I don't want you to pray. All I want you to do is just lay here in bed and look at that moon. And that's a reflection of the sun. And while you've been sleeping, I want you to know I love you. While you've been sleeping, I've been watching over you. While you've been sleeping, I never sleep. But I'm watching over you. And God wants us to know that the Bible is about God's love for his people. And how he loves us specially, how he loves us sacrificially, how he loves us sanctifyingly to make us holy. And so that's what God was teaching Israel through the prophet Hosea. And that's what God wants us to know tonight. And what I want to talk about is one verse in Hosea, listen to this, where the prophet was told, I want you to give Israel this message. And I would like to give it to you tonight. I preached on this before. It certainly is a verse that has stuck out to me. And it was in our reading this week. So go to Hosea and chapter 10. And I want to read to you verse number 12. Hosea chapter 10 and verse number 12. And it says there, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. What I'd like to preach on is you should seek the reward of revival in your life. You should seek the reward of revival in your life, in your home, and in our church. And I want to say three things about that tonight from Hosea 10:12. Number one, by sowing to yourselves in righteousness. That's how you should seek revival. It says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. Then it says, reap in mercy. Now, what I want to say is that God has saved us and given us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And God saved us and gave us a right relationship to himself. Listen to me tonight, that you and I might live right. The world is not living according to the commandments of God. But God saved you in order, not that you might be saved by keeping the commandments. You don't get saved by keeping the commandments. But once you're saved, you are saved to keep the commandments. And he gives you what you need to show you what God has spoken in his word. Because as I said this morning, you don't really break God's commandments. You do what, Matt? You break yourself upon the commandments. You go against righteousness, and you're going against God's purpose for your life. You see, he saved you to live right. We're living in a crooked world. There are men cheating on their wives. There are wives cheating on their husbands. There are young people that are having physical love, which they should not have, called fornication before being married. That is not right. There are people that are getting drunk on alcohol. There are people drinking and taking drugs and going away from God and going away from his word. There are people that are not dressing according to the standards of holiness in the Bible. And God is a holy God, and he saved you to do right. And he says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. What does that mean? That means, listen to me, when you do what's right, you are blessing yourself. But when you go against God and his will for your life, you are hurting yourself and you're hurting your family. And God saved you to get the blessings of living a life of righteousness. You see, the world, they're so messed up because they don't know God and they're not able to walk in righteousness. But here's what the Bible says. It says in Proverbs 11, verse 18, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Listen, when you go away from doing right, you're deceiving yourself. You might think you're going to get something good out of it. You're going to be left with nothing but junk and terrible disappointment and pain. And yet, you as a child of God, you can choose to do right, and there are certain laws that come into play here that are in the Bible. Here's what the Bible says about you as a child of God, that you can, listen to me, you can make the choice to do right. You can choose to come to church tonight, or you can choose not to come. I remember Jack Hiles, one of my heroes, a great preacher. He had a friend, and they were having high school graduation, and they went to that graduation, and the friend said, "Let's celebrate our graduation. Let's go to a movie theater tonight." And Jack Hiles said, "No, I'm going to go to church. God wants me to go to church." And he said, "Well, we go to church all the time. Let's just go to the movies tonight, Sunday night." He said, "No, I know it's right for me to go to church. I'd be fun. It sounds fun, but it's right for me to go to church." See, that's the kind of decision you need to make, to do what's right. And Jack Hiles went to church that night. Guess what? His friend went to the movie theater. His friend wound up a Hollywood producer. Made a lot of money in Hollywood, but never did anything for God. Died and didn't do anything for God. Jack Hiles became one of the great preachers of the 20th century. He built a great church, a great Sunday school, a great work for God. Why? Because he made the decision to do what's right. You watch out for those decisions when you have the choice to make, and somebody will try to pull you to make the wrong decision. You do what's right. Old Bob Jones used to say, Bob Jones Sr. used to say, "Do right though the stars fall." Do right no matter what. And so when you do right, listen to me, you are benefiting your own life. I'm so glad I chose the right woman. Amen. Good. I didn't meet my wife in a bar. Amen. I did not meet my wife in a brothel. Thank God for that. I did not meet my wife, you see, in a band rock concert. I met my wife in an independent fundamental Baptist church on a Sunday morning. Amen? Good. I made the right choice. Good. And God blessed that choice. And my life has been blessed by it. I am saying to you, people work a deceitful work when they get away from their marriage and they get enamored with some other man out there. What a stupid thing that is. You're going down, 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 down. Or some other woman out there, and you start flirting, you're going down, down, down. You do right, though the stars fall, and you sow to yourself. When you sow to yourself, now you say, "Well, I fall into sin, I mess up. I didn't mean to, but I mess up." Listen, the Bible says the righteous man falls seven times and rises up again. You know what you need to do when you get into sin? You need to keep short accounts with your sin. You need to get back up quickly. And when I sin sometimes, I sin and I mess up. I'm a pastor. I've been pastoring for a long time. I sin and mess up. And when I sin and mess up, you know what? Even when I don't feel like going back to God, I say, "God, I don't feel like it. I messed up. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have said that. God, I messed up. I don't even feel like going back to you right now. But God, I'm coming just as I am. Just as I am. I'm coming to you right now. And I'm confessing that's a sin, Lord. I know it's a sin. I know better. To him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it's sin. And I know it's right, Lord. And I confess it. I say, Lord, would you give me mercy?" And you know what? He never turned me away. He's a merciful high priest. And I say, "Lord, I failed. Now would you give me grace to keep me from going back into that, and give me grace to keep doing right?" And you know what? He does hear those kind of prayers. And if you live your life like that, you will find out you spend less time backsliding. The difference between you and a mature Christian is not that you don't both fall. It's the mature Christian gets right back up.
Good.
And you fall and you stay there. And you're stupid for doing that. Get back up. Get right. And you won't regret it, my friend. And so the Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life." You know what? When you're hanging around this person, you know it's going to pull you down. I had a friend when I first got saved. I was was a young guy, I don't know, maybe 17 years old. And this friend was a good friend of mine, liked him a lot. He was a football star, good-looking guy, older than me by 3 years. And this guy got me alcohol while I was working. Got me alcohol, and I drank that alcohol. To my knowledge, that's the last time I ever did something like that. And I did it, and I was high on it. And I hung around that friend of mine, that old friend, and whenever I hung around him, I would get off the track. You know, when you're hanging around somebody that gets you off the track, you know where it's going to take you. Or you get on the internet, and you know when you get on a certain website, you know when you start reading something, you know when you start looking at some pictures, you know when you click onto that thing, where it's going to wind up. But you just say, oh man, I just want to, and you're deceiving yourself and you're going to go down. And so I'm just saying, sow to yourself. It says, whatsoever a man soweth, he's going to reap. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to waste time. You're going to hurt your life. You're going to be pulled away. It's not worth it. You're rather to sow to the Spirit. And if you want a revival, I mean, God to do something, it's time for us to sow the Spirit. In fact, I want you to notice what it says here in 10:12, Hosea 10:12. I'll read it. You look at it. Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, which we'll get to. But it says, for it is time to what? Seek the Lord. Listen, we've wasted too much time. You've wasted too much time in your life getting fooled and going the wrong way. Don't get fooled. Decide, I'm going to sow and reap, and I'm going to get the blessing of God by sowing to the Spirit, and I'm going to reap the Spirit. Praise God. And so when you do that, you get blessed. I got stirred up this year, especially by Diane. I said, I want to get back to soul winning. I want to up my game. I want to do more soul winning. And since I've done more soul winning, God has blessed that soul winning. And when I give the tithes and offerings, man, God blesses the tithes and offerings and blesses His work. This is talking about money. When it's saying sowing to your flesh, it's in the context, it's talking about money. And are you investing your money in Faith Promise Missions? Are you investing your money in the bus ministry? Are you investing your tithes and offerings in God's work? And if you do that, it will last. You can take that with you. There's going to be a reward for that. And that is exactly what it's saying here in Proverbs 11:18. He is saying very definitely, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. When you sow to righteousness, you are going to get a sure reward. Now listen, I believe that God has heard our prayer. We have sown to the Spirit in prayer for our country. We've asked God to delay the devil's timeline for our country. We've asked God to give us freedom. We've asked God to give us peace. We've asked God to give us our prosperity back and stop being stolen from. And you have two choices now. Am I going to take this peace and prosperity, which I believe God will give to America, and am I going to go after the world and try to get rich? Or am I going to take this peace and am I going to take this prosperity and go after the true riches? You know, the children of Israel, we studied this morning in Sunday school. Before they left Egypt, which is a type of the world, God told Moses, tell them, borrow from the Egyptians gold, silver, jewelry. And they borrowed it. And guess what? They borrowed it and they took it with them, and the Egyptians were drowned in the Red Sea, though the Israelites had all that money. Hey, you know what I believe is going to happen? I believe that the globalists are going to be drowned in the Red Sea, so to speak. I believe Trump and his group is going to win for America, and we're going to have money given back to us. A lot of money given back to us. that I think some people are going to go after money rather than the true riches. You see, what did the Israel? One of the men tell me, what did the Israelites do? Did they do right with the gold, the silver, and the jewelry? Because they wound up going in the wilderness. What'd they do with that stuff? What'd they do with all that money? One of the men tell me. Dr. Luke, you tell me.
They made the golden calf.
Oh, that's scary. I didn't think about that. They did make the golden calf, didn't they? Wow. They did make the golden calf later. So that was not a good move. But it'll preach. It'll preach, Luke. Some of you, you're going to be blessed, listen to me, financially. Listen. And God is going to send leanness into your soul. I remember when I was in college, I said, Lord, I want a girlfriend. I want a girlfriend. I'm out of public school. I'm in a Bible college. There are Christian girls around here. I want a girlfriend. I want a girl that her perfume smells good. I want a girl I can walk with. I want a girl. I'm sick of these guys in the dorm. They're smelly. You know what I mean? I want a girl. And you know what? I was demanding of a girlfriend. God didn't want me to have a girlfriend right then. God wanted me to get close to Him for the time being. He was going to give me my girl later. But I wanted her now. I wanted her now. And that became first place in my life. And I did get a girlfriend. She was a Christian. And very pretty girl. And I got to eat at her house every Sunday because her dad worked on the campus of the Bible college. And I got to eat and had good meals and everything else. But you know what? The Bible said that God gave Israel what they wanted, but He sent what? Into their souls. What?
Leanness
into their souls. And spiritually, I was not rich toward God. I saw a friend of mine, and he was rich toward God because he wasn't even dating at the time. He was waiting on God, and he was really on fire for God. And I envied that guy. I said, I wish I had what he had. And finally, God broke me up with that girl, and that was good for me. But I wasted that time. And I'm just saying to you that the Israelites, Luke said it right, some of them took that jewelry and they used it to make a golden calf. Some of you, you could take the money God's going to give America, and you won't give the tithe, you won't give the offering, you won't be faithful to God. But what you'll do is you will try to make a lot of money, and you'll try to get things in this world with it, and that won't be good. But something good happened for some of the Israelites with that gold and silver and so forth. And what was that good thing, Luke? Give me the good side now.
They made the tabernacle.
They made the tabernacle in the wilderness. Remember, Moses said, hey, bring me gold, bring me silver. We're going to need this to worship God. By the way, we should give God our best. Amen. By the way, we should realize you can never outgive God. They brought their gold, they brought their silver, and they made this beautiful tabernacle. It wasn't beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, it was glorious. And that's the way God is. The world doesn't think we've got anything, but when you get inside, you realize how great the Lord is, how great church is. Amen. I'd rather be here Sunday night than watching the Steeler game. Steeler were getting beat anyway. I'd rather be here Sunday night than doing that. You know, but you get out in the world and it gets addicting and you get hooked into it. And listen, you're being robbed. You're being robbed when you're hooked into the world and church doesn't look good to you. That's what the world thinks. They looked at the tabernacle, it didn't look good. But inside there was gold. Inside there was silver. Inside there were riches. God's riches. And inside the will of God, there are riches from God. How about you? How about you? Are you going to get the reward of revival? You're going to get the reward of revival if you pursue what is right based in God. You're going to pursue what is right based in God. Not what your worldly friends say, not what the worldly work people are telling you, but what God's man is telling you, what God's woman is telling you. And that's going to help you to pursue right. And it says that you will get a sure reward. By the way, let me say this about God and righteousness. I got to loosen my tie. Let me say this about God and righteousness. There is a law of sowing and reaping. You're always going to reap what you sow. You're always going to reap what you sow. I'd rather sow to the Spirit and reap of the Spirit than sow to the flesh. The Bible says if you sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. You might think you're going to do good, but you're not. And the second thing is, not only are you going to reap what you sow, you're always going to reap later than you sow. You see, it looks good for a while, but you're going to get bit later on by the world. You follow the Lord, and you will reap good blessings later on. Where are people going to be 20 years from now? It depends on what you sow to. I've been here for a while, and I've seen the result, and I've seen people that have sown to the world, and they don't look good 20 years from now. They don't look good, and things don't look good. Why? Because they've wasted their life, and they've sown to their flesh, and now they're reaping it. And sow to the Spirit, you see. And you reap what you sow. You reap later than you sow. And listen, one more thing. You always reap more than you sow. It's an investment. And you're going to get a return on it. By the way, that's why a lot of people don't manage money well. They're looking for get-rich-quick schemes. Don't look for that. You follow the counsel of somebody like Dave Ramsey. Don't be Dave Ramsey-ish. Do it right. Do it right, and you will get blessed because you reap later than you sow. And that is the law of sowing and reaping. And so we're talking about seeking a revival, and you do it by sowing to yourselves in righteousness, number one. Number two, you do it, listen, by slaying your secret sin patterns. Here's what the Bible says here in Hosea 10:12. He says, break up your fallow ground. Now, I was sharing with an old farmer this verse, and I thought he would say to me, yeah, plowing is important. You got to plow before you plant the seed. And the guy said, no, we don't do that anymore. He said, we just put some stuff on the ground and chemicals or whatever, and then we just sow the seed. Right, Brother Joe? Well, maybe that's why our food is so screwed up. I don't know. Anyway, the American, Robert Kennedy's going to try to straighten that out. That's all I got to say. I'm sticking with the Bible. And the Bible says that to grow things, you should plow up the ground. And why? Because if the ground is hard in old-fashioned farming, the seed cannot take root and grow. It's got to take root downward and grow upward. But if the ground is hard and it can't sink its roots into the ground, the seed is going to die. It's going to die. Now, what is the ground? Listen to me. The ground is your heart. The ground is your heart. What's my heart, Pastor? The heart is your inner life that only you and God know what's going on right now in your heart. I can look at your face, but I can't tell what's going on in your heart. But God can. He knows your secret life. He knows what you're thinking. What's the heart? What you're thinking secretly. What you're feeling secretly. What your motives are secretly. He knows all about your heart. And the Bible says, break up your fallow ground. What's your fallow ground? That's to get down under the surface and get the heart softened. Get the soil softened so when the seed comes in, it will bring. Listen, your heart is vitally important. In fact, the Bible puts it this way in Proverbs. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it proceed the issues of life. One of my great heroes was a preacher by the name of Wendell Kempton. And Wendell Kempton preached a message at my Bible college in Chapel that I never heard the message. But I just heard people talking about the message, my friends in college. And he was preaching. He said, now keep your heart. Keep your heart. And he said, hey, Mr. Ben, if he was talking to Ben, when I invited you to go to the college, I told you about the great basketball team. I told you about the great campus. Ben, I told you about the lake on the campus. But one thing I forgot to tell you, Ben, I should have told you. Keep your heart. Keep your heart, you see. And he would go along and he'd go to different people. Matt, I told you, come to the college. It's a good deal. Come to the college. The professors will teach you the Bible. It's such a wonderful thing. But I told you all about that, Matt. But I should have told you, Matt, keep your heart. Keep your heart. with all diligence, for out of it proceeds the issue of life. I believe some of you have not been keeping your heart. Maybe even you've been keeping your attendance at church. Maybe you have been going through the motions of going to the motions of, but inside of your heart is not soft toward God. Your heart is not receiving the Word of God, and you are rather, listen to me, you rather are cherishing iniquity in your heart. You know what iniquity is? Pollution. Pollution. The Bible said, listen, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord what? Will not hear me. A lot of people praying for revival, they're not going to get it because of that. They haven't plowed their heart. They haven't kept their heart with all diligence. A lot of people want things from God, and God said, nope, you turn me on in church, and then you turn me off as soon as you leave church. Then you turn me on in church again, you turn me off. No, that's not what God is. He said, you need to keep on sowing to yourself in righteousness, reaping in mercy, and you need to break up the fallow ground so that what is sown into your heart will benefit your life. You're not going to waste it in going into sin and going the way of the world. You're not going to waste it. You need rather to slay your secret sins. You need to slay your secret sins. And if we're gonna walk with God and we're gonna pursue God, we gotta know that God's looking at your heart. Man looks at the what? Outward appearance.
Yep.
But God looks at the heart.
That's right.
My wife, when Dr. Kempton saw her, I remember Dr. Kempton, he was down in Florida preaching. My wife was in Florida. She was a single girl, and my wife was in love with me. Amen. God did that. And I didn't know about it, but Dr. Kempton was down there preaching in Florida, and she knew Dr. Kempton was a teacher at my Bible college and came from, and she wanted to know a little bit about me. And so she's asking him some questions about students up there. And did you mention my name at all or no? She didn't even mention my name. She was afraid to mention my name because she didn't want to have him think that she liked me. And so Dr. Kempton, somehow my name came up. Did you bring it up? No. Oh, he asked you about Randy Bloom. And it came up, and he said, Randy Bloom, Randy Bloom, Randy's like a son to me. He said, Kathy, do you know what Randy needs? She said, no, sir. He said, he needs a wife. And he looked right at her. But I'm just saying that Dr. Kempton was a man of God that had a heart for God. And God knows where your heart is. And your heart is very, very important. And so you need to take good care of your heart, my friends, so that when you're asking God for something, you don't regard iniquity in your heart, because that will block God from hearing you.
Right.
And so if you want God to hear you and bless this church and bless your life and your family, you will sow to yourself in righteousness so you get mercy, and you will slay, listen to me, those secret sins. You know, sometimes we don't slay those secret sins. In secret, we feed them. There's two dogs fighting inside of you. One is a dirty dog with feces, you know what feces are, smeared on the dog. And the other's a clean dog with nice, healthy fur. And those two dogs are fighting each other. And which one is going to win? You guys know which dog's going to win? Luke, which one's going to win? Whichever dog you feed. If you feed that sinful heart, you're not going to succeed.
Right.
And by the way, we have in us an evil heart of unbelief.
Right.
That makes us want to depart from God. Do not feed that heart of unbelief. Do not feed it. I was witnessing to a guy today in Walmart, and something was just telling me, I'm just going through the motions. And I said, no, God led me to that guy. I believe God is in that. I don't want to feed that heart of unbelief. You feed your faith, and that will make you strong. And when we prayed for Donald Trump to get elected for 4 years, I kept saying, I don't want to doubt you, God. I am believing you to do it. And he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Like my wife said, wouldn't it be nice if there really was a God? Wouldn't it be nice if God really was all-powerful and could do anything? Wouldn't it be nice if God really heard your prayers and answered them? I'm here to tell you, he does. And so feed that faith, and you will realize and be blessed and slay your evil heart of unbelief. Don't feed it. So I'm talking about seeking revival, number one, by sowing to yourselves in righteousness, reaping in mercy, by slaying your secret sin patterns. And when I say sin patterns, I'm talking about the habits that you get into. You get into those habits. By the way, you miss church one time, and it can lead to another time.
That's right.
If you want to thrive, our theme is thrive, don't just survive. You be here every Sunday. Be here Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday. Get into a good habit. I've told you this story many times. There was a beautiful couple, a good-looking couple came into the church. It was a husband and a wife. And the pastor, who's a friend of mine, he saw them and thought, this is a nice couple. And they came to church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, every Wednesday together. They were there. And then they started missing on a Wednesday night. And then, after a while, they missed again. Then they started to get in a habit. They never came out on Wednesdays at all. And then they started missing on a Sunday night. And then they started getting in a habit. More and more they missed Sunday night, and then they stopped coming Sunday altogether. Then they started missing Sunday morning. Pretty soon, they totally were gone. They weren't in church anymore. Don't get into that habit.
Yep.
Slay that secret sin pattern that doesn't stay secret long. It'll come out. And finally, listen to me. The pastor got a letter from the husband. And the husband, and many of you have heard this before, I've said it many times, the husband sent him a letter from a penitentiary. He was in prison, a federal prison. And he said, Pastor, I want to tell you what happened to us. It all started when we missed church. And then it got to be a habit. And then we got involved in football at the public school of our kids. And while we were watching the football games and getting involved in football instead of church, he said, my wife started getting enamored with the football coach. She started to like him. And pretty soon, I caught them doing what only we should be doing as a husband and wife together in a car, in the coach's car. He said, I killed them both dead because I was jealous. And now I'm in a penitentiary. But it all started, Pastor, when I got out of the habit of going to that church. Listen, the devil knows what he's doing.
Yes.
Seek the reward of revival by sowing to yourselves in righteousness, number one, by slaying your secret sins before they get into sin patterns. Slay those secret sin patterns. And I want to say one more thing, and I'll be done, by staying with it. I want you to notice Hosea 10:12, the last part. I'll read it. It says this, seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Do you notice that? Seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. People pray for God to do great things in their life and great things in their family. And then they pray a little while, and they sow to the Spirit for a little while, and then they slay their secret sin patterns for a little while, and then they get sick of it and they give up. Or they get discouraged and they give up. Don't give up.
Right.
I like what our former pastor used to say. He said, would you plant a garden? Maybe you plant a seed to plant a plant like a tomato plant, and about a week later, it's not growing. So you come back 2 weeks later, you don't see anything happen, so you dig up the seed. That is so stupid. You need to give it time. When you sow to the Spirit, it will come up. But a lot of times people lose it when it comes to sticking with it. Patience. I have learned that if you want to win, you just show up and keep showing up. Amen? And don't give up. Stay with it. I've said many times, even Roberts, the great young man that prayed for a revival in Wales, he would go to a prayer meeting every week to pray for revival. And his friends would say, "Oh, even come out fishing with us. Ah, even come out and go swimming with us. Ah, come on." And he would say, "No, I am going to prayer meeting. I am going to keep praying for revival." Listen, if you want to have God reward you and bless you, you better keep on staying with it. I thank God we had 140 out this morning. Six people got baptized. You know what? I have learned to stay with it. And you have learned, some of you have learned to stay with it. And you have seen God come through. And He will do it. And the Bible says in Galatians 6 that I quoted earlier, verse 9 this time, "And let us not be what? Weary." Listen. "Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not." Right. You know what? I don't know about you, but we're in a season of reaping. Amen? Right. We've been praying for our nation. I am going by God's grace on January 20th to the inauguration of Donald J. Trump. I know the globalists are still trying to stop him, but I just heard that he was suing George Stephanopoulos of ABC News and got an apology and millions of dollars. And I said, "Oh, that's the beginning of more reaping. That's answered prayer." I believe we're going to see more happen. What a blessing it is to sow to ourselves in praying to the Spirit and reaping in mercy where God has given us Trump instead of, can you imagine if we had had Hillary? Can you imagine if we had more of Biden or Harris? Can you imagine? Listen, God heard our prayers. But listen to me, I'm going to stick with it. I'm not going to give up now. It's not just enough to have political reformation in America. We need a revival. We need a revival of the old-time religion. And guess what? I want to see our church have this building filled on a Sunday morning. And have so many here, we need two services on a Sunday morning. And then to fill this up on a Sunday evening and on a Wednesday evening. And have at least one service with it filled in the night churches. And then you say, "Where do you want to go from there?" I want to have to buy a property for our school and to buy a property for the church and so forth. And where do you want to go from? I want our college to train preachers to go out and plant churches in Pennsylvania, farther out from us, and over an hour away. And then I want to plant churches in America and keep on going. I'm just saying to you, we have a choice. Your young people can be part of something that's going to last, or they can be part of this world that eventually, what did God do with Egypt? Under the plagues, He destroyed it. And in the day of the Lord, He's going to destroy this world with blood in the water. He's going to turn the water to blood, darkness, and hell, and all kinds of destruction. This world, where are you going to be with your children? Some of you young people, you're going to get married, have a Christian marriage, a blessed home like I've had, children, grandchildren. It's a blessing. This is our opportunity. And I'm just saying, Hosea 10:12 said, "Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy." For it's time. It's time to seek the Lord for a revival. He said it's time to seek the Lord, and we are seeking the Lord right now for revival. It's not just enough to have a good president. We need to have Jesus Give us revival. We need the presidency of the Spirit of God in our life. And so, are you sowing to yourself in righteousness? And it says, break up your fallow ground. Are you slaying those secret sins and keeping short accounts with God? And number three, are you going to stay with it no matter what? Thank God, when I stay with it, He always makes a way to go forward. You don't have to retreat. You can always go forward if you determine, I'm going to stay with it. Brother Eddie, it's good to see you determined to stay with it. And he's been showing up. Stay with it, Brother Eddie. You're doing the right thing. Stay with it. You're doing the right thing. You're going to see rewards, but it takes time. It takes time. Stay with it. Amen and amen. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking.